time for the E21 Go Sports Podcast. Now, here's your host, Easton Durant.
Hello and welcome to E21 Go Sports. I'm Easton Durant, and in today's episode, I'll be talking about the NFL draft, Aaron Rodgers' QB problem, and the possibility of sports coming back this year. Last week was the NFL draft, and a lot of good picks were taken inside the top 10, and a lot of players fell for where they were supposed to be. With the first pick, the Bengals took Joe Burrow, which was no surprise, because Cincinnati scored 21-plus points, an NFL low, 4 times last year, and while Andy Dalton certainly wasn't the only one responsible for the offensive struggle, he is coming off his worst season statistically. The Bengals can save $17.7 million on the cap by trading or cutting the 32-year-old veteran. They hired a young offensive-minded coach in Zach Taylor last season, and now they give him the best quarterback in the class to mold. With the second pick, the Washington Redskins took Chase Young. This was no surprise. The Redskins had to approve a defense that finished 27th in points allowed and yards allowed per game. They have had greater needs than adding an edge defender, and they might have entertained trades that with that in mind, but taking anyone other than Young would have been a mistake. He is the most talented player on defense in this draft and is too good of a value to pass up. The Giants took a offensive tackle, which they needed to protect Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. The pick makes sense from a need standpoint. Left tackle Nate Solder hasn't played up to expectations in his 2 seasons with the Giants. Right tackle Mike Reamer signed with the Chiefs, and free agent Cameron Fleming has never been a full-time starter. The Giants have to keep quarterback Daniel Jones upright and create seams for running back Saquon Barkley. The only problem with this pick is that Andrew Thomas was the number 4 offensive tackle in the draft. With the number 5 pick belongs to the Miami Dolphins, and they took Tua Tagovailoa. He is a left-handed quarterback with excellent field vision, accuracy, and athletic ability. He is quick, and he's perfect for it. The Dolphins traded a second-round pick for Josh Rosen last year, but he lost the starting job to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Neither is the long-term answer. While Miami finished 12th in passing yards per game, it finished 25th in scoring offense and 27th in total offense. The return of Fitzpatrick means the Dolphins don't have to rush Tagovailoa, which means that he will basically be his mentor throughout his career. And Tua is arguably one of the best in the class if he's healthy. Sorry, you can't pass on him if you're comfortable with the medical injuries that he has had. And the 6th pick was the Chargers. They took Justin Herbert, which was the perfect pick because I feel as if he was a younger Philip Rivers. He's 6'6", 236. He's mobile and has a rocket launcher for an arm, and he can beat pursuit angles with his speed and athleticism. He has a smooth and quick stroke. And the Chargers had to improve an offense that ranked 21st in scoring last season. And Philip Rivers is a Colt. Tyrod Taylor has been a starter for 3 of his 9 seasons in the league, and he has never played in all 16 games of a season. That's why they needed a good quarterback for him. And offensive coordinator Shane Steichen is the former quarterback's coach, who should be able to tailor the attack to get the most out of Herbert. I think that this is the best pick for the Chargers. I felt as if they were in the best of circumstances because they needed a quarterback. They were fine with taking Tua and they were fine with taking Herbert. So either or was a win for them. Whoever the Dolphins didn't take was going to be perfect for them. And moving on over to the Carolina Panthers, they took a defensive tackle in Derek Brown. Carolina gets the number 3 player on the board, and fills a pressing need. The Panthers gave up the most yards per carry in franchise history and ranked 29th in rushing yards it allowed per game. Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, and Vernon Butler have all left. Quan Short missed 14 games last year, and he's coming off a rotator cuff surgery. Adding a dominant interior lineman also should help linebacker corps that lost much of the best in Luke Kuechly. They needed a defensive tackle with Luke Kuechly going, so it was the best of situations for both of them. And then with the 8th pick, the Cardinals took Isaiah Simmons. The Cardinals ranked dead last in total defense last year, and coordinator Vance Joseph should be thrilled to get one of the most talented and versatile players in the draft. He said it himself with him on the, you only get 53 or 54 players on a roster, but with him you get 56. I feel like he can play almost anywhere on the field, and he's quick. Watching the draft, you could see him going against the running back, on the team. I think it was him, and that was a close race against the running back. He beat him. It was a good showing of speed and everything. So that's the perfect pick for them, and they have to protect. Moving over to number 9, Jacksonville Jaguars had this pick, and they picked C.J. Henderson, a cornerback. In addition to trading Jalen Ramsey during the season last year, the Jaguars traded A.J. Boye and his big contract to Denver. Trade Hurden and free agent Rashad Melvin, who signed as one-year deals, aren't shutdown corners. Henderson is a good fit for defensive coordinator Todd Walsh's scheme and should be able to help get back to defending the pass, much like they did in 2018. I felt as if this was a good pick because they needed a cornerback. Like I said, if you get rid of Jalen Ramsey, you have to be able to get a Jalen Ramsey type player back. And with the 10th pick, the Browns selected Jedrick Wills Jr. The Browns get the best tackle, get one of the best tackles at pick 10. It will be interesting to see where Wills plays, considering they signed Jack Conklin to play right tackle, and Wills played right tackle at Alabama. The Browns are going to re-sign Greg Robinson, who started 22 games at left tackle over the past two seasons. One last thing that I wanted to talk about before I move on from the draft is that I feel as if the player who's going to have the most trouble going, the quarterback is going to have the most trouble going into next year is Joe Burrow. He has to play the Ravens and the Steelers and the Browns. I mean, even the Browns defense is kind of good against the Bengals. So he's going to have a tough time adjusting to that conference, I think, because the defense in Pittsburgh is way better, and then the defense in the Ravens is also really good. So I just think that he's going to have to work hard to be able to compete in that division and be able to help the Bengals compete for a winning season this year. Moving on over to the next thing is Aaron Rodgers' QB problem. What happened was the Packers made Rodgers mad by trading up to draft a QB in Jordan Love with the 24th pick. They traded from 30 to 24. I think that this is a bad move. I know that they have to take a quarterback in the draft, but just to have a backup. But with multiple good QBs left in these rounds, why him? They need assets. They need wide receivers. They need running backs. They need anything to try and help Aaron Rodgers, because he was almost kind of carrying them last season. People are saying that Jordan Love is going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think that that's true, because the reason that Patrick Mahomes is great is because he has such good assets in Kansas City. Andy Reid was able to select very good wide receivers and running backs. He has the best wide receiver corps in the league, and the Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have almost nobody. I mean, they were able to have a good season, 13-3, and make it to the NFC Championship, but that's also because they played the Lions. They have the Lions in their division. The both times that they beat them was by a field goal to win it. They were behind in both games. Looking at their last year's schedule and what the scores were, they were generally low scoring games. Looking at it, they only scored 30 plus only a couple of times. I just don't understand why they would take a quarterback with that pick when they need a when they need a wide receiver or anybody a skill position. Also, it's kind of Matt LaFleur's way of there were people saying that Matt LaFleur had enough of Aaron Rodgers' act and wanted to change the narrative with a first-round talent on the roster. The Packers would be able to gain leverage with their quarterback and his passive-aggressive style if the Packers do want to indeed become a running team next season. I just think that if you simply had enough of Aaron Rodgers' act, then why don't you draft the wide receivers? Because then you don't have to like the guy. You could just win games. Whereas this, they got a quarterback, and then in the next years, they still have to get a wide receiver. That's the thing that I don't understand about this, is because you have a great quarterback, and he still has multiple years left on his contract. Why would you take another quarterback? I know people are comparing it to the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. What happened was Brett Favre was older, and then they took a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and the next season Brett Favre had a terrible year. I just don't understand it. If you go to the NFC Championship and you're this close to winning a Super Bowl, why don't you just stick with the quarterback that you have and try and make it to the Super Bowl? I almost don't understand it. It's just kind of a little bit stupid, because if they are this close to the Super Bowl, then why don't you just push that extra foot to get there instead of starting over again? You have it. You have the equation that gets you to the super, that gets you close to the Super Bowl. So why don't you just add to that equation and get to the Super Bowl? It doesn't make sense. Even if you're mad at the guy, just continue, get to the Super Bowl, and then just when he's old enough and when you've got to the Super Bowl, then you can get rid of him. When you have the good team that can get you to the Super Bowl, then maybe you don't need Aaron Rodgers and you could put in a QB. I don't know. I just don't. Makes no sense to me. Recently, the Las Vegas Sportsbook sets line for Ravens Lamar Jackson rushing yards at 999.5. Jackson rushed for 1,206 yards last season, an NFL single-season record for a quarterback, which made him go to being named the NFL MVP. However, each of the previous three quarterbacks to rush more than 900 yards in a season recorded less than 600 rushing yards in the following season. Jackson said that last week that it didn't matter how much he ran the ball as long as it helped the Ravens win. He also predicted he wouldn't put up the same rushing numbers in 2020. He said, quote, "I doubt that I'm going to be carrying the ball a lot further in the future because we have dynamic running backs and even more wide receiver. We're going to be pretty good, and I don't think I'll be running a lot." Jackson had similar expectations heading into last season, saying he thought he would run the ball less before ultimately breaking Michael Vick's single-season record. He repeatedly talked about how he enjoys passing the ball, and he famously said, "Not bad for a running back after throwing 5 touchdowns passes in a late season in last season's opener." One of the most dynamic runners in the game, Jackson spun, faked, and outran pass defenders to finish last season as the NFL's 6th leading rusher, which surpassed Vegas' expectations. For dual-threat QBs, posting back-to-back rushing seasons has proven elusive. Randall Cunningham ran for 942 yards in 1990, but he managed just 549 the following season. Vic rushed for 902 yards in 2004, but he was limited to 597 the next year. After Vic established the quarterback rushing record in 2006 with 1,039 yards, he didn't play the following season after being convicted. I actually think that he'll be able to beat it. I felt like the Ravens will rely on his running a little bit more, but I could also see why he's not, because he was able to go past defenders so much last season that maybe they're probably going to be more careful of him now and probably be able to play better against his rushing. So that's what I think about that. And in other news, in response to the coronavirus pandemic, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell last month voluntarily requested to the league's compensation committee that his salary be reduced to zero, which was accepted and went to effect weeks ago. In a memo written by Goodell and attached in Art Rooney's email that was obtained by sources, which was sent to teams. To all team owners Wednesday afternoon, the league also announced that it will implement executive pay cuts with a limited part of its workforce. He said, quote, "I wanted to make you aware that yesterday afternoon the compensation committee reviewed and approved these measures. It is important to note that the commissioner and staff took the initiative to implement these measures as responsible steps in the light of an economic uncertainty facing all businesses. Obviously, there are steps we would prefer not have to take, and the league office remains committed to planning for a season in 2020. In addition to the steps outlined in the memo, last month the commissioner requested that he voluntarily reduce his salary to zero, which went into effect earlier this month." Which, right now, I'm just looking up. The following is a list of global sports leagues and events that have been impacted by the coronavirus crisis and estimated start resume dates from the respective leagues. NBA, unknown right now. The status was that they were going to start going into training camp to restart the season on May 1st, but then that was pushed back to May 8th. NFL football, the opener is September 10th. The status is no change for Sunday, September 13th. And no changes yet in football. The only thing that happened was the XFL is canceled and suspended operations due to the coronavirus. MLB opening day, June 16th, but could open earlier if it's in Arizona. And that is about it for the big sports right now. And there's also talks that the Texas Rangers new stadium could be the home for when the regular season opens up. That's because what's going to probably happen is, if they do resume it, is that it's probably going to be in Arizona, because that's where all the spring training facilities are, and they're going to try and keep it in one area so that way as not to travel around the country and bring coronavirus everywhere, or one player gets infected and then the whole, everything happens from there. Rangers GM John Daniel said Monday, when asked about the possibility of Texas being part of such plan, "Depending upon a variety of other factors, it makes a lot of sense. Just given the nature of the market, the proximity of a lot of the facilities, the quality of the facilities, the quality of not just baseball facilities, but the hotels in the area, and other things that you need." Well, the Rangers had some involvement just from a due diligence standpoint to help Major League Baseball gather information. Daniel stressed during a conference call with beat writers that it is just among several ideas being looked at by league officials. It's probably gonna suck for most teams that are building a new stadium, like the Chargers and the Rams, because they're not going to have a stadium to play in. And thank you for listening to E21 Go Sports. I'm Eason Durant. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at E21 Go Sports. Thank you.
You've been listening to the E21 Go Sports podcast, a production of Cogger Podcast Network.